Always it's good to be here, to worship God, to be with the family of God, to be encouraged and built up. You know, I had somebody ask me, because the bulletin said last words, that this was the last Sunday I was here. No, it's not. Although I do feel, you know, I'm coming to that point where I feel like the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans, or at the end of one of his books, where he's trying to say those last few things he wants to make sure that the people he's talking to understand that he feels. And so the next 3 weeks will be lessons that I want us to think about some things as we come to a conclusion of our time together. Today, we're going to talk about remembering where we came from, and that's always important. Next week, we're going to talk about knowing who we are. And then my last Sunday here, we'll talk about the great hope that we have for the future. And I hope that those lessons will be encouraging to you and leave you some things that will help you as you continue forward in your Christian life. You know, Paul often talks about, I want you to remember, I want you to know these things, I want you to think back about these things when he writes his letters. And it's important for us to do that as well, that there are some things that you know, and I know, but there are sometimes we need a call to kind of remember those things, right? They're in our minds, but maybe we've let them kind of slip back into the dark corners, or they've got a little dust on them. We need to dust them off and remember some things that maybe we already know but haven't spent too much time thinking about recently. You know, there was a call in 1941 and throughout World War II to remember Pearl Harbor. You know, that was on signs that was constantly said, remember Pearl Harbor, because they wanted everybody to always remember why we were fighting, right? Don't forget, you know, when thousands and thousands of our young men were dying and coming home, and I'm talking, you know, in our day and time, we just have no comprehension of the level of death that they faced on a weekly basis. When 10,000 men could die in 2 days on a Japanese island, that would be as many as we've lost in all of Afghanistan and Iraq in just a couple of days. And so there was this need to remember why our young men were dying, right? It enabled people to have the strength to continue on, to press forward when times were hard, when times were difficult. We've done something similar with 9/11. You see the towers and the words, never forget, right? Never forget. That same effort to remind us that sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes there's going to be a terrible price to pay. But when we pay those prices and when we go through those valleys of deep darkness, then we never forget why. Why we are fighting the fight. People that love history like me, and like I know many of you, and I know, because some of you have told you, we sure get tired of your history lessons sometimes. It's all right. I don't expect everybody to love history. I don't like math. And I've had some people get mad at me for saying that. But that's okay. If you'll let me hate math, I'll let you hate history. But historians often say, and there is a truth to it, that those who do not learn from history are bound to repeat it. That's true. And you know, the vast majority, if you think about it, the vast majority of our learning is a matter of remembering history. Remembering what has happened. If I ask you this morning to go downstairs to the kitchen and turn on the burner and put your hand on it, what would you say? No, Nathan. Why? Because it will burn me. How do you know that? Because I guarantee you, at some point in your life as a kid, you had to put your hand on it, didn't you? You had to touch it. You had to reach up there. You know, parents just eventually have to let their kids do it, right? And you put your hand on it, and there is something of remembering history that tells you, I'm not going to do it again. And so see, that knowledge that you have to not put your hand on a hot object is a knowledge that you have gained from learning from history. Something you're remembering that keeps you from doing that again. You know, sometimes we don't do things because of previous historical experiences in our lives. Some things we do. I mean, you know, we talk about what we won't do, but some things you do today because at some point in your life you didn't do it, and you know the loss and the pain that came as a result of your neglect. And you've said to yourself, I'm not going to ever forget that, and I'm never going to neglect that again, right? So we truly do learn from our history. And if we don't learn from it, we're bound to repeat it. Let me tell you what, if you don't remember touching that hot stove, you're liable to stick your hand on it again one day and let your hand be burned again. So it's important for us to learn. It's important for us to remember where we have come from. It is important for us to remember what has been done for us, to appreciate people of this world that have done things for us, our parents that sacrificed so much for us, other people that have given and helped us in so many ways. It's important for us to be thankful people, and to be thankful people, we have to remember what has been done for us. We have to remember where we've come from. God has always set forth the need for us to remember what He has done. And if we go back into the Old Testament, we see Him setting up things so that they always remember Him. And then we go all the way back to Abraham, and He sets up the covenant of circumcision there with Abraham, a physical remembrance, to remember God's promise of Abraham concerning his descendants, that they would always remember that God had promised that through his descendants that would be like the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky, that through his seed all nations would be blessed. That through one that would come from Abraham's seed, that being Jesus Christ, all mankind would know the blessings of salvation. You know, God set up the Sabbath day in the law of Moses, and that was a weekly remembrance. You know, Moses said, for 6 days you work, and the seventh day you rest, just as God worked in the creation for 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested from His work. You know, sometimes we just talk about God rest. Well, God wasn't tired from creating. He rested means He just stopped His work on the seventh day. But they were to remember, and it's important sometimes we just jump over that the purpose in that was for them to remember who created this world. Every week to remember that God created this world. God created all that is in it. God created, in other words, you. And on the Sabbath day, I want you to stop working, and I want you to think about Me. I want you to think about the God, to remember that I am the God that created you, and therefore you need to follow Me. See, God creating us, folks, is the very foundation for Him having any right to say anything to us, right? As far as what to do. If God didn't create me, He doesn't own me. But He did. And the Sabbath day was a reminder of that. God also set up the Passover feast, that time once a year where the Jews were required to come together and to celebrate that Passover. But it was for them to remember that God had delivered them, that He had delivered them from Egypt with great power. And we talked about that last week. All of these things were to remind the Jews of where they came from, that they came from God through creation, that their history and lineage were a part of God's great plan to bless all nations, that they were only a people and a nation because of God and because of His power. If it wasn't for God and His power, they never would have gotten out of Egypt. They certainly never would have conquered the land. They were a people and a nation because God and His power made them so. It was so important that they remember that. That they remember where they came from. How many times in the Old Testament does God go, I delivered you, and what have you done? You've left Me. You've forgotten about Me. You don't even know who I am anymore. Why? Because they chose not to remember. Just like the Israelites, it's important for us today to remember where we come from. You know, first, we need to understand that we come from a life of failure. It doesn't matter what degrees you hold. It doesn't matter how powerful your job is or how much money you have made or will make. Each of us are a failure in this life. And we need to understand that. We need to know where we come from. We come from failure. And I say that because the wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, that the whole reason for our being upon this earth, the whole reason we have been created, is to fear God and to keep His commandments. That's our purpose. That's why you're here. There is no other reason why you're on this earth except for that reason. And that reason alone, yet, I can go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 and see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I can look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 and see that sin is when I do not do what God commands. It's lawlessness. When I violate His law. And so when I look at that and I say my purpose is to fear God and to keep His commandment, and yet I understand that I have sinned. I understand that you've sinned because all have sinned. And sin is that violation. That is a failure in my purpose in this world. I have failed. That is why Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 that it is not within us to guide our own steps. I know we think we're smart. I don't know what score you got on the SAT, ACT, or whatever, IQ test. We all think we're smart. And yet we just can't get it done on our own. We need to remember that. That when I live on my own and I act on my own, I fail miserably. And Jeremiah understood that. You know, it is knowing this history about ourselves and our choices that enables us to begin a journey to Jesus Christ by being, as Matthew 5:3 says, poor in spirit, understanding just how impoverished I am, how bankrupt I am by my actions, and to turn to the God that will give me everything I need. Willing to look to the one who did not fail, the only one that has ever lived on this earth that did not sin, that did not fail in His purpose that God put Him here to do. To look at Him. To look at Jesus Christ. To follow His example. To remember what He has said. To remember what He has done. And what His gospel teaches me. Now, if we refuse to remember that we each come from failure in this life, we will never learn what is necessary to actually succeed in it. Paul always remembered what he did. Paul understood what a terrible failure he had been. And folks, in a Jewish standard, he was very successful. In fact, he goes into that with the Corinthians, or to the Philippians. Hey, I was all these things. And yet I was a failure. And he constantly brought it up, even as he's approaching the end of his life and he's writing Timothy, he's still talking about what he did when he persecuted Christians and the incredible failure in his life that was. How that he was not just a sinner, but he said, I'm the chief of sinners. There's no one worse than me. There's no one that's failed more than I have. And yet he said, I am the example that Jesus Christ can turn the biggest failure into a great success. Jesus Christ has that ability. But Paul had to understand that. He had to know that. He had to accept that in order to ever take on Christ. To let himself be crucified that Christ might live in him. That he might direct him. His understanding and his accepting and his acknowledging that fact and looking back to that and remembering that was a force that drove the Apostle Paul to greater and greater devotion. Can you imagine Peter? How many times do you think Peter, when he shut his eyes, saw the face of Jesus when Jesus looked at him after he said for the third time, I don't know that man? There are still people that have looked at me in ways that broke my heart, and they're still here. I just can't even begin to imagine the Lord's look. And I don't think Peter ever lived a day without it. And I think when he thought about it, when he saw that enormous failure, when he had so proudly said of his own strength, I will never do it, and yet just hours later, he stood there and did it. He looked back at that failure, and it motivated him to do more than ever before. But not from Peter's strength, but with the strength of Jesus Christ. That was Peter's problem. Peter was all about him. I won't let it happen, Lord. I don't know about them, but I'll never leave you. After that, Lord, you know all things. I'll just trust you. I'll just do what you say. Because he remembered the look of our Lord. Now, knowing and accepting our failing when doing things our way should cause us to realize our incredible need for help. We should be looking for a better way, looking to someone who knows what they are doing, looking to Jesus Christ and His Word. So not only do we need to remember that we come from a failed life, but we need to remember as well this morning to remember what God has done for us in order to deliver us from the consequences of our terrible failure. The Bible is a 4,000-year history of God doing everything He can to save you. You know, we go, I've worked for 30 years to put these kids through college. 30 years. God worked 4,000 years of human history to make it possible for you to be saved today. To save mankind from its foolish decision to sin, it is 4,000 years of unbelievable love, grace, and patience from God. Truly, when we look at that as a whole, and when we read 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where he says he's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Why? Because he's patient, right? Long-suffering. He puts up with a lot. Because he'd rather you be saved. That's his preference. This effort of love by God, even though I say it's 4,000 years, it's really longer than that. I made the specification there about human history. But it's longer than that, because Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us that God decided on that effort before He even created this world. Before we have Genesis 1 and 1, God had already decided to put forth this effort for you. He already knew you. He knew me. He knew exactly how foolish we were going to be. And He wanted to help us. So before this world ever knew existence, the God who pre-existed had already decided to save you, to provide that opportunity to you. It began for mankind in Genesis chapter 3 after Adam and Eve ate of that tree that was forbidden by God, therefore violating the command of God, the law of God, and that is sin, as we've already talked about. And God said that there would be the seed of woman, and He would come and He would crush that head of Satan. Satan would bruise his heel. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God preparing for the ultimate manifestation of His loving efforts. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son. God prepared mankind for Jesus Christ. He prepared the world for the preaching and the teaching of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus said in His ministry is at hand. The Old Testament law prepared the Jewish people for Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, in verses 23 through 24, it says, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our guide to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. So many things of the old law are foreshadowings of what God was going to do in the new. You know, we think we plan well, but we kind of plan, then we kind of play it on the fly, right? We have a kind of a skeleton. God didn't have any such thing. He had exactly what He was going to do in the New Testament, and the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of it. And He sent Jesus Christ when this world was ready, when He had prepared it. We should diligently seek to learn this history by studying the Bible, to see and obediently appreciate all that God has done for us. Parents, have you ever said to your kids, do you know all that I've done for you? Can you imagine God saying that? With the look on His face, like Jesus had when He looked at Peter. Do you remember all that God has done for you? Think back just this week. How many days this week did you take time to think about God? Let's throw out Wednesday night. How many times do you think about God? Think about all that He had done. Took time to listen to His words. Do you remember Him? Does he want you to remember him? Like the Passover for the Jews, we are reminded as well of the power of God that enabled us to be delivered. To be delivered not from a nation, but from the power of the sin that we chose to commit. God still wants us to remember what has been done to bring us here this morning as His people. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." And such we are. Do you remember what love God showed that you can be that? That you can sit here this morning, know your sins are forgiven. That if you walk in the light as He is in the light, have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continuously cleanses you of all sins. Do you remember all that He did to make that possible, or do we just take it for granted? We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. Folks, we take the Lord's Supper for one reason, one purpose, to remember. This do in remembrance of me. We think about Jesus' death. And folks, when we take of that Lord's Supper, when we give thanks for that bread and we give thanks for that cup, it is not just as the Corinthians had made it some kind of common meal that we take, something we just do out of habit. It is the moment of our week, the greatest moment of our week. Is remember everything that we are, everything that we should be, and everything that we must be hangs on a cross for us. And everything else just doesn't much matter. And in our mind's eye and in our mind's ear, the ear of faith and the eye of faith, we see Jesus Christ hanging on that cross. We hear the echo through the valley of the clang as that hammer hits that nail. As it's summed up so quickly in those few words, "There they crucified Him." We don't have a lot there. But to hear the clang, clang, clang. Do you remember it? And to hear the constant, not just one time, but over and over, pleading by Jesus. Because the saying there is not just that He said it once, but that He was continuously saying it. Maybe between every hammer stroke, Jesus is going, "Father, forgive them." Clang, "Father, forgive them." Clang, "Father, forgive them." They don't know what they do. If there was ever a statement that should ring in our minds, it is that they don't know what they do. You know why? Because Jeremiah had it right. We sure don't. We need to hear as it cried out in the, as Jesus cried out in the dark, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The only time in Jesus' life is He became sin for you and He became sin for me, because He had no sin. He never knew what it was like to be separated from God. But He took your sin and my sin, and for the first time, and maybe the greatest pain He ever suffered, was that moment He became separated by our sins from the God that He loved. And to hear Him say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished." You ever thought about that moment? There's one thing that's not mentioned at that moment that we have mentioned earlier in the cross. And that is, it says that it became dark at the sixth hour. At noon, it became dark. And it's not cloudy, folks. It's dark. God removed the light of this world. Jesus hung on that cross for 3 hours in darkness, as the world did this most terrible and awful act. But it said that the land remained dark till the ninth hour. And when Jesus died, the lights came on. The victory had been won. And light overcame the darkness. And the earth shook. And the veil of the temple were rent. We know that, and we hear the words of a centurion standing before the cross, "Truly this man was innocent. Truly, He was the Son of God." Do you remember that? You took the Lord's Supper just a few moments ago. Did you remember that? Because that's what it's all about. No other scripture really has to do with that like that scripture has to do with it. Remembering Him hanging on the cross for us. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning to remember that death, to understand our responsibility in that. He didn't die for the world, He died for Nathan. Because I sinned. And when He said, "Father, forgive them for they know not what," He's talking to Nathan. Forgive him because he just doesn't know what he's doing and he's putting me on this cross. He's died for you because you don't know what you're doing. And that's why we so desperately need Him. And may we every day allow the remembrance of that reality, of that fact of history, to motivate us to greater and greater devotion to the one that hung for us. May we never forget where we were before Christ, with no hope, eternally lost. That's where we all were with before Jesus Christ. May we never forget all that God has done to save each and every one of us, the 4,000 years of effort and the terrible pain that God the Father felt as He sent His only begotten Son to die at the hands of godless men. I can't imagine. The word that is used in regard to Jesus and the Father being one is a word that is sometimes used in reference to marriage, but because it's God, it cannot even be anywhere in the ballpark of what I understand as intimacy or closeness to another person, because I'm not going to have anywhere close to that kind of level of understanding and love that God has. Can you imagine the pain He felt as He watched His Son, very part of Himself, die on that cross? Never forget what Christ did for you there, dying in your stead. But may you look, and the Bible says that the centurion said what he said because of the manner of what he saw in Jesus and the things that he saw and the manner in which he died. That when you remember him, you say, "Truly he was innocent because I'm the guilty one. And truly he was the Son of God, is the Son of God. And therefore demands my devotion." May you give your life wholly to him. May we remember, like Paul, that we put him there. May we remember that we have hurt him. Paul was asked, "Why do you persecute me?" The question could be very well asked to you and I with our sins. Why do you hurt me? Because a sin is an affront to God. May our answer be, "I don't want to, God. Show me how to live." May we remember so that we may be motivated to do as Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and that's walk worthy of what has been done for us every day. That I walk. Walk means that how I live my life every moment. I walk worthy. Everything about me looks back to that day. Looks back to that cross. Looks up to a God that has done so much to try to save me. And I want to walk worthy of it. If you haven't been doing that, won't you begin today? God deserves it. He's earned it. And He's offered you more than anybody will ever offer you in this world. In fact, all that has ever been offered in the history of mankind from the beginning to the end of time will never equate to what God is offering you this morning when He offers you the salvation found in Jesus Christ. Don't turn it away. If you're not a Christian, you haven't come to God, you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you haven't done that which He died to provide to you, then His love has not been perfected in your life. It hasn't reached its conclusion in your life. That's why God loved you, was to save you. That's why He sent Jesus Christ, was that that love that He had for you might be perfected by the forgiveness of His blood. You can come to Him this morning. If you know what you need to do in obeying the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God, as that centurion did there, clearly recognizing it, being buried in baptism, to die as he did, to be buried with him there in baptism, to rise having your sins washed away, to be a new person, to live a new life, a life guided by him. You understand that. And you want to do that this morning so that all of God's effort for you will not have been in vain. We hope and pray that you will. If you're a child of God, maybe you've not spent enough time remembering what's been done for you, and as a result, your dedication, your devotion has maybe waned a little bit. Maybe you haven't really been walking worthy. Change today. You don't know what you're doing. And Jesus is begging for the opportunity to forgive you. Won't you let him? We can assist you anyway. Won't you let us as we stand, as we sing?